This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We offer a warm welcome to each of you from the Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. We invite you to tune in to this radio station at this time every Sunday for worship with us.
Do you consider the sins in your life very serious? We're going to talk about that question in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, as we have entered into the Lenten season, we pray that we may see anew the cost of our redemption, that we may understand that it was on the cross that you suffered and died, that we might have the forgiveness of our sin. Lord Jesus, help us to realize the seriousness of our sin in your great love for coming here to take those sins away and to unite us with our Heavenly Father. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the second chapter of Mark, beginning with the first verse. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered there that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached a word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus, and after digging through it, lowered the mat the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately, Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Jesus calls us for the tumult of our lives while restless sea. Day by day his sweet voice sounded, saying, "Christian, follow me." Jesus calls us by thy mercies, Savior, may
Friends in Christ, I have had a long, ongoing conversation with a woman who is unable to walk, and it is centered around a verbal picture. When I ask her the question, "If Jesus Christ asked you, which do you prefer? That I heal you of your paralysis so that you can run around and live a normal life like once you did? Or rather, would you have me assure you that your sins are forgiven?" How would you answer that question? She replied the first time I asked her with no hesitation, "I would ask for the forgiveness of my sins." And then, trying to be surprised, I said, "Tell me why. Just see all the things you could do today. You could be back in your car driving around. You could go around and give your little talks in different churches. You could be with your children in a more active way than you really are. Why would you rather have your sins forgiven than to have that healing?" To which she replied, "You know, as a forgiving person, by God's grace, which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, I can live in a personal relationship with God. If I did not have my sins forgiven, then I would not be in a relationship with God. For the sin that is found in the natural person separates him and her from God. But by his grace, God has given me forgiveness because Jesus came to die for me. Consequently, God is my Father. It is to him I can turn for comfort, for strength, for direction, and for peace. And I've learned to know that the days on this earth are not very many. But how wonderful it is to realize that if today's the last day, and tomorrow I'm with him in heaven. I've also learned that if I bathe myself in God's forgiveness, I can become a forgiving person. First, I can forgive myself. Well, when that was in my life, and it was a short period of time, that I wasn't sure about my Savior, then I had to live with guilt. And I can assure you that living with guilt is the most painful disease that a person can have if he has some understanding of the seriousness of sin. If I continue to bathe myself in the forgiveness of sins, then I can learn to forgive others. And how horrible it is that we live from one year to the next in some cases, not forgiving other people. And so this discussion has gone on, and I've shared it with her many a times. We've shared it over meals. We've shared it over the breakfast table. We've shared it when we lie in bed at night. And I say to her, what would you do tomorrow if you were able to walk? And she'd give me a full day of what she might do. But exhausted as that body was because of the effort that she has to put forth to really move as much as she does, she still smiles and says, you know, I can close my eyes and say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take, and I don't have to doubt that for one minute, because if this should have been the last day, then remember this, I'll be in heaven. That woman is my wife. They were said those words, I still want the forgiveness of sins, as she sat in her wheelchair and smiled as she watched her children prepare the Thanksgiving and Christmas meal. What she really wanted was to be able to walk and to get in there and help with that meal. And I'll always believe that though it was a great meal that we had, it would have been just a little bit better if she had had her fingers in it. But I'm prejudiced. There is no question in her mind, because of the seriousness of sin and what it could do to her person in relationship to herself, to others, but especially to God, if it were not forgiven. Well, they didn't understand that back in Capernaum. And one day, Jesus found that out. He was pretty impressed when he had gone into that town, which now he was calling home. And there were so many people there to hear him preach that they had to get this poor paralytic man into Jesus' presence by cutting a hole in the roof and then lowering it down into the very presence of our Lord. When he saw their faith, he was pleased, and he looked at the fellow and he said, Son, your sins are forgiven. Well, I tell you, that really caused an uproar. For you see, in that crowd, there were a group of Pharisees. There were about 6,000 of them in Palestine. They were the spiritual Gestapos. They went around seeing that the law was kept to the very letter. That had to be done. And now here was Jesus questioning some of their religious deals, and he was also right now guilty of blasphemy, the worst of sins. So Jesus knows their thoughts, and looking at them, he has a few words for them. What are you thinking? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to that paralytic, I tell you, Get up, take your mat, and go home. They were really, really excited. This man had to be dealt with. But the man was healed, and he walked home. There were at least two purposes for this miracle. One was to heal the man. God had compassion on him. And the second was to give evidence of Jesus' deity. And that was too much for the Pharisees. He would be reported to the high priest and dealt with soon. Capernaum was in for tough days. There was no question about that. In the 11th chapter of the Gospel of St. Matthew, Jesus pronounces some woes. And this is what he said, "And you, Capernaum, you will go down to the depths. If the miracles that were performed in you had been performed in Sodom, it would have remained to this day, but I tell you that it will be more bearable for Sodom on the day of judgment than for you." Few people had had the opportunities that they did in Capernaum to hear the gospel, and yet they turned their hearts away from God. The noted preacher and theologian of many years ago, J.C. Ryle, has written, "We forget that the people of Capernaum heard the most faultless preaching and saw it confirmed by the most surprising miracles, and yet remained dead in their trespasses and sins." Ryle goes on to say this, "Nothing seems to harden man's heart so much as to hear the gospel regularly and deliberately prefer the services of sin and the world." Let me read that once more. "Nothing seems to harden our hearts so much as to hear the gospel regularly," and many of us do, "and deliberately prefer the service of sin and the world. Never was there a people so highly favored as the people of Capernaum, and never was there a people to have become so spiritually hard." And then Ryle says, "Let us beware of walking in their steps." We have to apply this, friend, as we begin to take a look at our blessed land that we love so much and see where it is spiritually speaking. Never has there been a people, I'm convinced, so blessed as the people of America in the hearing of the gospel and seeing God at work. From the days of our founding fathers to the present time, he is still at work. And yet it seems that we give him a deaf ear. Stop and think of the blessings that we receive. The gospel, just hearing the gospel, besides all of the other things. See what Christian radio does for us throughout the week. Look what the television does. Now it does a lot of bad things, but it does a lot of good things too. Look at the opportunities that we have every Sunday morning. We can come into our churches, and if yours is not one like that, look around for some other one, where there is real biblical preaching, where God's word is being expounded. I hear it, I see it, I know it. It's here. And we have that offered to us in the United States of America. But besides that, we have some other very interesting things happening, gifted people. And we've had it for the last years. I remember when I was a kid, probably 10, 12 years old, we had our first radio, Silvertone from Sears Roebuck, way back there in the state of Maine. And before we could go to have dinner, on Sunday noon, we had to listen to one of the world's greatest preachers of the day, Dr. Walter Meyer. I can hear that announcement now coming over the radio, bringing Christ to the nation. The Lutheran Hour, sponsored by the Missouri Synod, bringing Christ to the nation. Meyer preached, and that boy heart of mine was stirred. I will never forget the day when I had the opportunity to hear him see him in person for the first time in Rumney, New Hampshire. And we spent much of the day with him, and he autographed my New Testament. And I later, as a theological student, said to Dr. Meyer, "You autographed my New Testament when I was a little boy." And he said, "In Rumney, New Hampshire, Dr. Meyer, Dr. Hoffman, who was an able successor, blessed in the same way." And we move outside of our own particular denomination to Dr. Billy Graham. The chills would go up and down your spine as you would see those thousands of people coming to give their lives to the Lord Jesus. And it made a real difference in their lives. Dr. Lloyd Ogilvie standing there in that powerful pulpit in Hollywood, California. Dr. Haddon Robinson, the scholar from Gordon Conwell Seminary and the Baptist Seminary in Denver. And the list goes on and on. Look at what we have had the opportunity to hear. Look at what we'll hear now during these next 40 days as we walk through Lent again. And pray to God that the cross will be lifted up. Think of what we will sing as we sing these great Lenten hymns. Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. That's Lent. That's the price. Because sin was so serious to God that he had to give his only begotten Son. If sin is not dealt with, friend, and I talk to you seriously, if sin is not dealt with, it'll bring some horrible things to your life. Beautiful lives are destroyed by sin. Homes are broken by sin. Health is destroyed by sin. Money is wasted by sin. Yes, even churches are divided by sin. When the Holy Spirit has led us to see ourselves in the light of God's Word, we can only say with St. Paul of old, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me?" And then comes the answer. Thanks be to God. Forgiveness comes through Christ Jesus, our Lord. God has given us many gifts, wonderful gifts. Some of them are healing. But the greatest gift of all is the forgiveness of sins, which brings me into the presence of my Heavenly Father, there to live with him both for now and for all eternity. Amen.
Deepest and best for
Let us pray. From the hardness of our heart, God, please forgive us. We have heard this good news of salvation so long that it becomes almost something that we can forget. We have become oblivious to it. So, Holy Spirit, first, remind us of how badly we need that forgiveness. For we have sinned against you as individuals and as a nation. For never before have people had the opportunities that we have had in this blessed land. Grant, O God, that it may be a Lenten season where people are restored in their faith, that there may be spiritual awakening in our churches, and lives may be set on fire for the cause of Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray, amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. May today's gospel message comfort and guide you as you walk in fellowship with the Lord. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry supported by gifts from our listeners. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. For help in including Christian Crusaders in your will, please contact our office. We thank each of you for your gifts and prayers. Today's service is also available to be heard or read on the internet. Our website has many spiritual helps, including a daily devotion, a preview of the Sunday program, and many other spiritual helps. Visit our website at christiancrusaders.org. Copies of today's program are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson. Christian Crusaders is celebrating 70 years of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.